Welcome, everybody, to the barely legal edition of 3 Up, 3 Down. It is our 18th episode. None more exciting than this. Just announced today from MLB Blogs, we were the 16th ranked fan blog on all of MLB.com for the month of June. We thank everybody for reading, a momentous occasion for all of us. We get t-shirts now.
Kurt promises t-shirts.
So, if you have design options for us, send them to 3U3DBaseball@gmail.com. T-shirts finally on our way. I will own another t-shirt in my extensive collection. Very exciting. But now, let's get to the podcast. Jeremy Dorn is on assignment at the Dodgers game. Currently, he just watched Chad Billingsley beat Zach Cozart in the head. Zach Cozart will be fine, like he went to first base. But I have everybody else here, my roundtable baseball associates. Started off with Brian Boynton representing the American League West.
Hey, everyone.
Angelo Felicia representing the American League Central.
I play for the American League.
And Kurt Peter representing the National League Central.
And proudly.
My name, Brian Mapes. I represent the National League East and the American League East, too. So I guess I technically am pledging AL and NL, but really pledging the NL. Boat chipper, hashtag, boom. Which brings us to our first topic, the biggest topic of the week. All-Star voting was released yesterday on TBS. A lot of surprises in there. Giants fans coming through, pushing Pablo Sandoval to starting the starting at third base, passing David Wright in that position. He will be going to Kansas City. Some other snubs along the way that we will get into now. Guys, who do you think was your biggest snub after the All-Star Game rosters were announced? We'll start it off with you, KP.
My biggest snub comes from my own Brewers here. Zach Greinke, I think, was easily the biggest snub for the National League pitching-wise. I mean, batters are a different topic, but one of the more revealing stats was in 2008, Ben Sheets, who started for the National League, was 10-3, I believe, with a similar ERA and similar strikeouts, who started for the National League. Zach Greinke didn't make the team this year, is 9-2, so one win less, one loss less, has a 2.82 ERA, a 1.17 whip. He's 4-0 at home with a 1.08 ERA. And a sub-1 whip at home, which in Miller Park is not easy to do. It's definitely a hitter's ballpark. He's allowed like one home run there, I think, all season. I mean, it's just kind of shocking. And there have been other stats to bring up that this ERA compared to 2008 or like the past 5 years, he would be in the top 10. But this year, pitching's been so dominant that I think he's only top 15 or top 20 in the ERA. So it's shocking. It's a snub, but I mean, pitching's been so good, so it's hard to include it.
Yeah, I can see making a case for Greinke over Lance Lynn, who was a player's choice to the National League roster. Going to go over to you, Angelo. Who is your biggest snub from the All-Star team this season?
KP, I do agree with you. I think Greinke deserved to be there, but I'll take a snub from the American League. It's kind of a little difficult, I'd say, but this is what I think. I think that I know we talked about this earlier, Mapes, but I think Broxton should have been the vote for a Kansas City player, leaving Billy Butler either off completely or in the top five for one. And I think Encarnacion and Enoba Jackson should both have a chance to be voted in. I think both are having outstanding years to have a chance to get in, you know, even if it is the last five.
Yeah, it's very interesting to see that Ron Washington went with all pitchers for his final vote, basically telling, hey, I want one more pitcher on this roster. I thought Broxton was going to go over Chris Perez, who goes from Cleveland. Perez does have the 23 straight saves, leads the American League in that category, but Broxton having a better season peripheral-wise, that I thought they would take Broxton as the lone Casey representative and then Encarnacion from Toronto would go over Billy Butler. Brian, over to you. Who is your biggest all-star snub for this year?
Well, I'm going to stick in the American League, and this guy is not a real trendy pick. I know he's having a down year, but he plays for the Red Sox, who are just not very good this year. And it's Adrian Gonzalez, and I get he's only hitting .273 with 6 home runs, but it's a fan vote, which I'm not necessarily a fan of. But, it's the Red Sox. Boston Red Sox, he's their best player, arguably. And I get David Ortiz being the most well-known player. He's the only player they have left over from the 2004 Red Sox that won their first World Series in, like, 86 years. But Gonzalez has carried that team. He carried them last year. I just thought Red Sox fans would step up a little more and get him to Kansas City, but they let him down this year.
Yeah, you can make a case Adrian Gonzalez, a very good defensive player, not having the best season at the plate. Maybe Boston fans, well, they got overtaken pretty much by Detroit and Chicago fans, as Prince Fielder and Paul Konerko will represent the American League at first base. My biggest snub, I agree American League-wise with Angelo that Edwin Encarnacion should have gone to the game. If you go to 3U3DMLblogs.com, you could read my blog on the All-Star Game Snubometer, where I ranked various players on a scale of 1 to 10 on how they should feel about being slighted. Edwin Encarnacion was a perfect 10 out of 10 on the Snubometer. The other player that was a perfect 10 out of 10 that I think should have gone to Kansas City was Johnny Cueto of the Cincinnati Reds. He is second in wins above replacement in the National League. Fourth in ERA. He only trails R.A. Dickey. If you look at all the pitchers for the past two seasons, Johnny Cueto has the best ERA of any starting pitcher in the National League. I thought he was a lock for Kansas City. Very surprised he ended up not going. I would have preferred to see him over Lance Lynn. One other slight snub, Tyler Clippard, much better numbers than Jonathan Papelbon. I don't understand why the first place Washington Nationals, only 3 All-Stars. The last place Philadelphia Phillies, 3 All-Stars. Makes no sense to me. The rosters were announced. Who do you guys think was the worst All-Star that got picked for Kansas City this season? We'll start it off with you, Angelo.
Okay, this is kind of, a lot of people might disagree with me fully, but I'm going to say Mike Trout only because he's a rookie. I think he's been outstanding this year. I just have a thing where rookies, I don't think, deserve to make the All-Star game. I don't care how good you are. You've played 3 months, so.
Very interesting theory that rookies don't. I mean, Trout is leading the American League in stolen bases right now, despite not playing that first month. But I can respect the not letting the rookies go. Speaking of rookies not going to the game, I have a rookie that I think shouldn't have gone to the game, voted in by the players, and that was Brian LeHair of the Chicago Cubs. Chicago Cubs are in last place, but yet they have 2 All-Stars. Pretty much he got in on a hot April. The ballots were already in. The players didn't change anything. And because there was nobody behind Joey Votto that really stepped up this season, Lance Berkman got hurt. Brandon Belt almost got voted in by Giants fans. Freddie Freeman tailed off. That it ends up that Brian LeHair is the backup first baseman for the National League. I would have preferred to see Martin Prado, who has had a much better overall season with the flexibility of outfield, third base, first base, to end up being the backup first baseman. But I digress. The players chose Brian LeHair. He's a great story, and he will be making his first All-Star appearance in Kansas City. Kurt, going to go over to you. Who is your biggest surprise to make the All-Star team?
I don't know if it's a surprise. I think it's more of just like the whole controversy San Francisco Giants thing, and it's also going to be another homer thing. I know that's awful. But Melky Cabrera, I don't think, should be starting over Ryan Braun. I mean, the guy's leading current, I guess, MVP for the National League, leading the league, National League in home runs. I mean, he's just killing it for the Brewers, pretty much keeping them in, what, fourth. But still, I think that he should have been higher than Melky Cabrera, at least starting the game. I mean, it's not even close.
Can I offer you some solace in Matt Kemp's injury won't let him to play in the All-Star game and Braun will end up starting anyway?
It would be nice to solidify him in the top three anyway.
All right.
But, yes, small solace. Fair enough.
Small solace.
Yes.
Brian, over to you. Who is your biggest surprise selection to the All-Star game?
Well, it's not really a surprise. And I'm going to go, counter-homerism, I guess. I don't believe Mike Napoli should be starting the All-Star game. I like the guy as a player. He's awesome. He looks like a guy that really stinks to me. I don't know why. He just does.
Like bad hygiene?
Yeah, like, he just looks like a guy that smells bad. I don't know why. He just, some about him. But, I like the guy. He's fun to watch play, if anything. But, I do not believe he should be starting the All-Star game. He hadn't had the year. And this point last year is when he took off. So, he shouldn't be there. He's getting in on his numbers from last season. But, in the National League, I think it's horrible that Matt Kemp is taking a spot from somebody else. I know Jeremy's probably going to yell at me tomorrow about this, but Kemp should not have been voted in. He's just taking a spot from somebody.
Yeah, it's a little interesting to see who will be taken for Kemp's spot, as there are quite a few National League outfielders that are still worthy of a bid. The aforementioned Martin Prado, Matt Holliday, and even a couple guys in the final vote that we will get to shortly in Michael Bourne and Bryce Harper that could fill Matt Kemp's spot depending on how the final vote goes. You know what? We'll just get to that right now. The final vote, the 34th man on the roster picked by the five players picked by the corresponding manager for each league. The fans get one last chance to vote for the last player on each roster. The options for the National League: Chipper Jones, Bryce Harper of the Washington Nationals, Michael Bourne of the Atlanta Braves, Aaron Hill, second baseman for the Arizona Diamondbacks, the man of the bicycle, two cycles in 11 days, and David Freese of the St. Louis Cardinals. The options for the American League: all pitchers. Ron Washington basically says, you know what, I want another pitcher on this roster. Jason Hamill of the Baltimore Orioles, who is currently pitching a jam against the Seattle Mariners as I speak. Jake Peavy of the Chicago White Sox, the AL pitcher of the month for April. Yu Darvish of the Texas Rangers. Jonathan Broxton, the closer of the Kansas City Royals, Kansas City, where the game is being played this season, and Ernesto Frieri, the closer for the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who they picked up in a trade from San Diego earlier this season, has not given up a run in an Angels uniform yet. I'll open up to everybody right now. Start it off with you, KP. Who gets your final vote for the All-Star game?
I'd say for the National League, for memento's sake, Chipper Jones easily gets my vote. For performance sake, it's hard to decide. I'd love to see Bryce Harper in there just for a little edge, and the fact that he could accomplish that at such a young age kind of, I don't want to say shock the world, take a little side from Michigan, but, I would vote for Chipper Jones. Get him in there. I don't know. I feel like he's going to be there anyway, but just in the stands or something, I have no idea. But for the American League, it's going to be Hamill or Frieri. I can't say Peavy or Darvish or Broxton have, like, stepped up to the plate immensely this year, but I'd say Hamill over Frieri.
All right, Angelo, over to you. Who gets your final vote?
Well, thanks, KP, for the Juwan Howard reference. I appreciate that. I would say for the American League, I'll give it to Broxton because I thought he deserved to be there in the first place, and he is from the hometown, KC. So him over Hamill, I would say. Those are the top two. Again, I'm an anti-rookie, so no Darvish. And on the National League side, yeah, I'm going to go with Chipper Jones for Memento's sake. But didn't they open up and give an extra spot to, like, Tony Gwynn and maybe Cal Ripken or something back in the day? I don't really recall. But if not Chipper Jones, I don't know. I'd go with Aaron Hill. Hitting two cycles in 1 year is outstanding. So that deserves some more credit.
And, Brian, over to you.
Well, I got to pick. I have to pick Darvish. I can't go against Darvish. I mean, I get Angelo's thing is no rookies should be in there. But the guy is top five in strikeouts. He's top five in wins. He pitches in a hitter's park, and he's still accomplishing these things. I know he's also tied for the league lead in walks, but his walks have gone down progressively throughout the season. Every start, he's walking less guys, striking out more. He's a great pitcher. Yeah, he's a rookie, but he's 25, has pro experience before. Take that as it is. But in the National League, you got to put Chipper in there. He's already said he's retiring at the end of the year. Let the man go for one more time. Even if he doesn't start, he deserves to be there. He should start, I think, just a la Cal Ripken, Tony Gwynn, but it is what it is.
All right, and my final vote picks, I am going with Chipper Jones. I've said it from the start that he should start the game, but I think that this is his last chance to get in. Even Bryce Harper came out and said that he would vote for Chipper Jones. I think Michael Bourne probably actually deserves it, not Braves bias here. He's probably had the best season out of all of those players, but I think Chipper deserves that last respect to go to Kansas City for a last All-Star game. And in the American League, I think you, Darvish, will end up winning it because you're voting against an entire country. I think that Jason Hamill or Ernesto Friere deserve it. All the other four deserve it. I'm going to go Ernesto Friere just because he hasn't given up a run and he's really solidified that Angels bullpen. It almost seemed like once the Angels got Mike Trout and Friere on board, it really turned their season around to make a run in the AL West. Oh, see, cute. Jason Hamill just gave up two runs to tie the game against Seattle, so yeah, he doesn't get a final vote now. Going with Friere. If he had gotten that out, I would have changed my mind. Last bit of All-Star news. Starting pitchers have not been announced yet, but there are a ton of great pitchers in both leagues. Who do you think should start the All-Star game for each league? We'll go back the other way and start it with you, KP.
Picking an All-Star game starter is kind of like a crapshoot. One, because he's only going to probably be in there for 2-3 innings at the most. That's why I always laugh at who wins the All-Star game. It's kind of like, well, whoever started like the fifth or something like that. But for the AL, it'd be hard to pick against Justin Verlander just because he's been so dominant the last 2 years. For the NL, it depends. I don't know. I think it'd be fun to like put a reliever to start, but that probably they won't do that. And I think that you'd probably have to go with Gio. Yeah, I'd say Gio or Strasburg. I'm not sure. One of those two.
Strasburg.
Over to you, Angelo. Who would you have start for each team?
For the National League, normally I would say Dickey just because he's having a great year, but I don't want to say a knuckleballer start the game, so I'm going to go Matt Cain. Have him start the game just because he's been so dominant all year. And I don't think that I have to really mention who I think should start the AL. KP already took care of that for me. JV for sure.
It makes sense. If Matt Cain does start having that battery of Buster Posey and Matt Cain together, they do have a perfect game together. Maybe get through the first couple innings of the All-Star game perfect. Brian, over to you. Do you think Matt Harrison should start the All-Star game? Maybe you, Darvish, can go from final vote to starting the All-Star game. What are your thoughts?
Well, I don't think Yu Darvish goes from final vote to starting. I don't think Matt Harrison does either, even though he's having a great year. And considering the fact that he, what was 18 months ago, was left off the Rangers postseason roster, it's beside the point. The American League, you can go David Price, Verlander. I wouldn't go Weaver just because he's been hurt this year. Sabathia, he's not even going to play. You got to go with Verlander. I mean, he, like they've said, he's dominated the last 2 years. And in the National League, you know, just to piss Angelo off, I'm going to go with R.A. Dickey. I do want to see a knuckleballer start it. So.
All right. I'm going to agree with you, Brian. I want to see R.A. Dickey as well start the National League. Guy deserves it. He's a tremendous story of all he's been through. 37-year-old, first-time All-Star. Ready for this? He leads the National League in wins above replacement, wins, whip. He has been absolutely on fire. He's the first pitcher to have an ERA under one for an entire month while having a game in which he gave up five earned runs. That was a nice little stat I saw. So I think that R.A. Dickey, just a tremendous story. Just the one-hitters, ridiculousness. I want to see R.A. Dickey start the game, see what Buster Posey can do with that knuckleball. And the other way, it's obviously, not obviously, it's Chris Sale or Justin Verlander for me, and I'm going Justin Verlander. He deserves that kind of respect after his MVP season just a year ago. That'll do it for the All-Star talk. Going to get to the other news. And we'll start it off with injuries for the New York Yankees. CeCe Sabathia, as Brian said, is hurt. He has a strained groin. He will miss one more start, not pitch, in the All-Star game, which might open up some room for one of these final vote pitchers that don't make the game. So probably two of these final vote guys will end up making the All-Star team. And Andy Pettit takes a comebacker off the ankle. It is a fractured fibula. He is out 6 to 8 weeks, automatically put on the 60-day DL by the Yankees. A lot of trouble in the Bronx now as this plethora of pitchers they thought they had with Andy Pettit signing at the start of the year has been depleted once again. They're calling up minor leaguers and starting Freddy Garcia. It's not just pitcher injury news, though, if we don't have This Week in Tommy John. Sponsored by Dr. James Andrews, this week's recipient, Diamondbacks pitcher Daniel Hudson, one of my favorite pitchers in the league. Unfortunately, he has a full 100% tear of his UCL. Angela, going to go throw it over to you because, unfortunately, Jeremy's not here to represent the NL West. What are your thoughts? How big of a blow is this to the Diamondbacks to lose Daniel Hudson? Can Trevor Bauer step it up enough to help him out?
I think it's a decent-sized blow for the Diamondbacks, considering, you know, they might have a chance to come back in the West and win it again this year. But, I mean, really, his record's 3-2 this year with a 7.35 ERA. He's not having one of his best seasons by far. We can say that. His whip's decent, I guess, at a 1.63. But I think Trevor Bauer is maybe capable of doing exactly what Daniel Hudson has been doing, so maybe he'll just replicate that. I guess we'll find out.
All right. We will not see Daniel Hudson for the rest of the season into next season, as now I think we're in the mid-20s of pitchers that have fallen to Tommy John this year. Going to go over to some non-injury news now. The Dodgers sign Yasiel Puig, the Cuban defector. He will play outfield. If you look at this Dodgers roster now, where they could have Kemp, Ethier, and Puig over a long time span, all signed to multi-year contracts, this will take them pretty much out of the Josh Hamilton sweepstakes this offseason. But a nice little signing there if Puig can evolve into a Yoenis Cespedes-type player from Cuba. Another signing, not a Cuban defector signing, but an extension. Ryan Domit, signs a 2-year extension with the Minnesota Twins. He's been primarily the backup to Joe Mauer, but has DH'd a nice little pop in that bat, especially needed in target field. Speaking of big bats that formerly played in target field, Jim Thome traded from the Philadelphia Phillies to the Baltimore Orioles, where he will primarily be the DH there, should get some at-bats. A nice little fantasy pickup if you're looking for power. Kurt, going to throw over to you. How do you think Jim Thome helps the Baltimore Orioles stay in the race in the AL East?
It's definitely going to be a tough race to stay in because the Yankees are trying to run away as fast as they can with it. But, I mean, I feel like the Orioles are just a few power bats away, and Jim Thome definitely brings that power over to Baltimore. I mean, Adam Jones can't carry the program the whole way to the postseason, so I definitely think Thome, I mean, he's got, he is over 500 now, right? Or 400?
Jim Thome, he is over 600.
600, yeah.
609.
He has over 600 home runs. Granted, if he plays DH for them, is that what he's going to do, probably?
Yes, he will probably just DH. They have, I believe, Mark Reynolds and Chris Davis to alternate at first base. Let me double check, make sure I'm right. Yeah. Jim Thome, 609 home runs, tied with Sammy Sosa.
Yeah.
Next. Yeah.
So, I mean, that's going to bring a lot of power to, hopefully for the Orioles, so he can knock a few out of Camden Yards, and our friend Ryan Wagner can announce him a bunch of times.
I'm sure he's been pronouncing his name in the mirror a few times. Ready? Here, random question. Jim Thome at 609, Ken Griffey next on the list at 630. Yes or no from all of you? Does Jim Thome catch Ken Griffey Jr. for sixth all-time? Started off with you, Kurt.
This season?
In his career.
Sure. Yes.
Sure? Angelo?
I think he does, but I hope he doesn't.
All right. And Brian?
Yeah, I'm with Angelo. I think he does, but I really hope he doesn't.
Right, 21 home runs behind Ken Griffey Jr. for sixth all-time on the home run list. Then it's another jump up to A-Rod will probably keep hitting him out and keep his lead on Jim Thome. It would be a rather extensive Jim Thome bombing to get all the way to Willie Mays at 660. That'll do it for the news segment this week. We're going to go over to 3-up, 3-down fantasy, where we have our first player this season to go from 3 down to 3 up. That is coming soon, but we're going to start it off with the hottest pitcher in the AL Central right now. Who's that, Angelo?
Justin Masterson. I think, let's see, he's allowed 6 runs in the last 5 games, 2 of which have been shutouts. One of it has been a complete game shutout. Just throwing smoke and doing what he's finally been, I guess, what Cleveland fans have been waiting for all year. He got hot middle, late last year until the Cleveland Indians finally slumped. So if the Indians are going to make a run at the AL Central, they need this guy to pitch well. And they're getting it.
Yeah, Justin Masterson. Still owned in just 58% of Yahoo leagues. His next start before the All-Star break will be against the Tampa Bay Rays. Going to go to another pitcher in a Central Division that has been absolutely on fire lately. KP, who is your 3-up player for this week?
My player would be Cincinnati Reds' Matt Latos. He's been lighting it up at least the last 10 games. He's 7-2. He's probably owned in quite a few of fantasy leagues. His ERA is a little high, and his WHIP's a little high for real ERA and WHIP numbers in fantasy games. But his last 5 starts, he's 3-0. He threw 2 complete game one-earned runs, striking out 13 and 7 in those against Milwaukee and San Francisco. If he's available to trade somewhere else, you can see if he can get some bats or see if he can get maybe 2 pitchers for him, 2 mediocre kind of spot start pitchers for him, or a pitcher and a bat, but he hasn't thrown a shutout in his last 10 games, but he's only allowed more than 4 runs twice in his last 10 games, so you gotta keep that in mind. He will put runners on base, He will walk some people, but he'll strike out a lot of people, and he'll get some wins behind the Reds' offense.
Yeah, a little. It's scary having a pitcher at the Great American Ballpark, but the way Matt Latos has pitched, you can't hit the ball out if you don't hit it at all. Matt Latos striking out a lot of batters lately. And my three-up player this week, a aforementioned first player to go from three down to three up, it is Ike Davis of the New York Metropolitans. He's still hitting around the Mendoza line, but he has been absolutely on fire of late. He has hit 5 home runs in the last 2 weeks with 17 RBIs and OPS over 1,000. I think he's coming around. The power is there. I think that the power will continue in the second half with the warmer temperatures. If you're looking for some power numbers, he'll still probably only hit 260, 270. But if you're looking for power, like we said, Ike Davis, owned in 49% of leagues, might be available in your league. If not, take a look at Jim Thome, trying to get those power numbers. Going to go over to three down now and start it off with Brian. Who is your AL West three down player right now for this week?
Well, it kind of sucks because this guy actually led the majors in home runs for a day. It's Dustin Ackley. He hit the first home run of the season this year, and since then he really hasn't done anything. He's hitting .237 on the season, 4 home runs, 23 RBI. He plays for the Mariners. I get that. They don't score a lot of runs. But, I mean, in, what was it, in the month of June, he hit like .220. And, I mean, in the last 7 days, he's 4 for 21. That's a .190 average. So he's just not getting it done. And the only person, I guess, in that lineup that does hit is Ichiro. And he gets nobody on base. He doesn't get himself on base. So there's nobody really worth having on the Mariners lineup.
All right. Gonna go over to KP. Who is your three down player for this week?
Speaking of slumping players, Chris Young for the Arizona Diamondbacks has been slumping for a while now. And, more remarkably, in the last 30 days in the early parts of July. I mean, there's been a few days. But in June, he batted .143. He struck out 25 of his 77 at-bats in that month, which is over almost 33%. He had 3 RBIs throughout the whole month. And in his last 10 especially, he's hit 2 home runs in his last 10 games. But those are 2 of his 4 only hits in his 28 at-bats while he's struck out 11 times. So he's definitely not producing at all for fantasy owners unless you like the Case home run while taking a lot of strikeouts and a poor batting average.
Chris Young still feeling the effects from a lingering injury that took him out of the lineup earlier this season. Gonna go over to the last three down player. We had a Cleveland Indian for three up. Do we have a Cleveland Indian for three down, Angelo?
Yeah, and I'll be happy to say yes, we do, thankfully. Can't have one without the other. We have Carlos Santana, not to be confused with the guitar player, but the catcher for the, and I guess slash first baseman from the Cleveland Indians. He's 2 for his last 21. Which in that span he's struck out 8 times in the last 21 at-bats, only walked 3 times, his batting average has dropped 13 points, just absolutely not making contact whatsoever. And not to mention the Indians have lost in 6 of those games too.
That'll do it for the 3-up, 3-down fantasy segment for this week. Gonna go over to our matchup to watch, and we're not gonna do it the usual way you're used to. Once again, the only matchup we want to watch this week is the Home Run Derby. It is between the 2 captains of each league. That's how they're doing it this year. Robinson Cano will captain the American League squad, while Matt Kemp will return from his hamstring injury to take leadership of the National League squad. Both guys got to pick their own Derby teams, kind of like Playground Rules Robinson Cano selected Jose Bautista of the Toronto Blue Jays. He leads the American League in home runs this season. Mark Trumbo of the Los Angeles Angels of Anaheim, who will be dropping Trumbombs all over Kauffman Stadium. And he's also joined by a fellow home run derby champion, Prince Fielder of the Detroit Tigers. Matt Kemp's team, he went with a theme. If you don't have Carlo in your name, you can't be on his team. He picks Carlos Beltran, who leads the National League in home runs for the St. Louis Cardinals, Carlos Gonzalez of the Colorado Rockies, and Giancarlo Stanton, who makes the home run structure light up in Marlins Park for Miami. So I ask you simply, who will win the 2012 State Farm Home Run Derby? Going to start it off with you, Angelo. Who's your pick?
I'm going to go with my hometown favorite, Prince Fielder, and I am a little disappointed that Cabrera wasn't picked to hit in this competition.
All right, going to go over to you, Brian. Who is your pick for the Home Run Derby?
Now, Stanton is going to be fun to watch because he does make that god-awful trophy light up. He does break scoreboards. But I agree with Angela. I think it's going to be Prince that wins. Trumbo, he's had a good last month leading the Angels. But I just think Prince is a better fit for this kind of competition.
All right. And KP, Prince Fielder won a home run derby in a Brewers uniform.
You bet he did.
Can he win one in a Tigers uniform?
I don't think he can. I'm not sure who I want to pick. I think I'm going to go with Mark Trumbo just because he seems like the player that's, I don't know, all these other guys are like good hitters and not saying Mark Trumbo isn't, but like, I feel like Mark Trumbo can swing for the fences whenever he wants and just like knock the crap out of the ball. And, the other guys, they hit well and they hit in situations well. So does Trumbo, but I just think he can mash it. I mean, he'll put on a good show, I mean, no doubt. I don't know which. I was also thinking about which team was going to win, American or National, or like which player will represent or hit which team will hit more home runs in the first round, and I still probably have to pick the American League, which I hate doing.
Yeah, it's going to be interesting the way the format goes. Let me see something. I'm going to do this analytically. Has anybody ever won two home run derbies in a row? Doesn't look like
no,
it.
No, not many. Ken Griffey might have, but I don't think so.
Jason Giambi, Luis Gonzalez, Sammy Sosa, Griffey. Oh, Griffey did.
Yeah,
Griffey
that's
did
what
I thought. 98 and 99 in Coors Field at Fenway Park. So Cano still could win a second one.
It was a different time, though, back then. Like, people playing the home run derby in 98 or whatever were just not good.
It was a simpler time.
Yes.
And everybody was on steroids.
Exactly.
Oh.
Except for the one that won the home run derby.
Ready for this one as I'm looking it up. 1999 Home Run Derby. John Jaha.
Exactly.
Was in it. He had one home run. But yet Jeremy Burnett had 14.
Interesting. Hey, those are the Brewers of our past.
All right. Now that I went on that tangent, let's see if I can eliminate this. Kemp, hamstring injury. No. Carlos Gonzalez, no. Carlos Beltran, I don't think he has the power for a home run derby, but then again, that's what they said about Bobby Abreu and Garrett Anderson, and they won, but I'm going to cross him off. Cano, I don't think going back-to-back can do it. So that leaves me with Trumbo, Bautista, Fielder, and Stanton. Bautista wasn't very good in it last year, so I'm going to cross him off. Alright, screw it. I'm not going to go through it. I'm picking my boyfriend, Giancarlo Stanton. But that's what I'm going to go with. He's going to hit it into the waterfalls. It's going to be great. I'm going to love every second of it. So that is going to do it for this week. Going to get quickly. Who do you think wins the All-Star game, AL or NL? Brian, Angelo.
American League.
American League.
KP?
Dang it. I mean, I grew up so many years watching the American League just pound the crap out of the National League. And I had some, like, Twitter argument with another guy. He was like, oh, well, No, the National League had their time. Yeah, in the 80s and the 70s when I wasn't alive. So I have to pick the National League. I'll always support the National League, but it's going to be a good game either way.
I'm going to pick the National League to win their third straight game, and hopefully it'll get the Braves' home field advantage in the World Series. Not likely. We're probably not going to the World Series because we can't win that many games in a row. It's terrible. So that's going to do it for Three Up, Three Down this week. I'd like to thank everybody for listening. Make sure you follow us on Twitter. It is at 3U3D. Like us on Facebook, Three Up, Three Down, all words. If you'd like to send us an email, it is 3U3DBaseball@gmail.com. Make sure you read our blog. Fantastic job, everybody, reading it. It is 3u3d.mlblogs.com. Very proud to be 16th. We've gone up each and every month from 42 to 41 to 27, now 16. Hopefully the top 10 is somewhere on our near future. That is going to do it for us. I want to thank everybody for joining me tonight. Brian Boynton, Angela Felicia, Kurt Peter, and the absent Jeremy Dorn, who is at Chavez Ravine enjoying himself right now. I am Brian Mapes. That is going to do it for us. I'm sorry we ran out of time. We will get to Enigmata the next time. You got the kind of love that can be so true. Give me your heart, make it real, or else forget.